Hey, everybody, it's Ryan Ripley. Wanted to get a new offering in front of you as soon as possible, evidence-based leadership. And so as you all know, Todd Miller, myself, and Will Seeley, we're big on evidence-based management. We want to apply it to the leadership space. We all know that modern managers face complex challenges every day. You're juggling a lot of needs, your direct reports, your stakeholders, your customers, they all need constant attention. What we want to do is help you manage that. We want you to use information and data to make good decisions around all of these areas so that we're delivering the right thing at the right time for the right customer. And we know that we're doing that because we're using data and evidence to validate all the things that we're doing. And not only that, we're not just looking at value, but we're looking at our capabilities as an organization. Can we deliver on time? Can we innovate effectively? Do we have too much tech debt? Do we have too many things in process? Are we unable to deliver when the market demands that we do? We look at all of these things with evidence-based management. We merge that into a leadership mindset and lens, and we enable you to make new and better decisions repeatedly based off of the data that you're collecting within your organization. It's exciting stuff. We hope you can join us. Visit agileforhumans.com/EBL course. Join us in one of these offerings. We think you're going to love it. Hope you can join us. Use Agile for Humans, the number 4, to take another 15% off of this course, and we can't wait to see you there. All right. Evidence-based company time with Todd Miller, Ryan Ripley, and Will Seeley. Will, Todd, myself, how we doing?
Well, I was doing great until Todd had a thought this morning.
I know, right? Now you understand my world, Will. Todd gets up at 4 a.m. and has an epiphany, and suddenly we're on video. But here we are. Todd, what are we calling this one?
Yeah, so it didn't intend to be this way. So as you kind of – sometimes I wake up early in the morning, and then Ryan's littered with text messages and Slacks. Will is usually awake by then. But what I started to think about is evidence-based management – and how it might or might not have a segue with Agile. And what that little kind of study that I was doing when it relates to the manifesto and the principles really led me, should I add the stage for your
Yeah, players? Bring it in.
That Agile is mostly internally process focused. Maybe a bold statement, but keep listening and see if you disagree by the end of this. What do you think?
Well, that flies in the face of everything we've been talking about in terms of Agile being super customer-centric and value-oriented, Todd. Yeah. That's fighting words you're posting there.
Well, and just to be clear, so what you're saying, Todd, is that it's not value-focused, it's not customer-focused, it's largely process-focused, but not even externally process-focused, organizationally internal process focused, and that's where it lives.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now I think that there's a lot of stuff that's been built around the word Agile that I think has allowed some of this product management, customer centric thinking in. But Agile in its very definition, if we look at the manifesto and the principles, that, as you call it, Ryan, the B side of it, it really is internally process focused.
All right. Tell us more.
From the manifesto, right? The definition of Agile, we are uncovering better ways of developing software by doing it and helping others, right? That's right on the Agile manifesto. Accompanying the Agile manifesto, or is this the what everybody sees here, right? This is not new news. This is from 2001. Individuals and interactions over processes and tools. I see nothing in that statement that drives directly to it should be valuable for the customer to you guys.
Nope.
No, this is internally focused, right? We're talking about, and I think if I remember correctly, this directly referred to the people working together to create valuable things.
Yeah.
This working product over comprehensive documentation. This is just get the widgets out, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No discussion of value. Agreed.
Yeah, and it doesn't at all imply that it has to be delivered to the customer. It just says that it's working, right? Which means it could be sitting on a dev server.
Yeah. Now here's one, you know, customer collaboration over contract negotiation. I mean, what do you think here?
Well, nothing needs to ship for us to collaborate with a customer.
In fact, I've had many of those moments in my career. Yeah. We got along great. We collaborated well and budget got spent. Nothing got done.
Yeah. And then, everybody pitches onto this last one, responding to change over following a plan. So things could be changing internally, right? Conversations, executives come up with new ideas. Rather than explicitly follow that plan, you are able to follow a change or respond to change. But this doesn't say that your change is because of something that validated or invalidated an idea in production that your customers were using. And I think we should preface this conversation by saying, by no means are we saying that Agile is invalid at all. We really are staunch advocates for Scrum, for Kanban, for XP, for a lot of the things we're going to talk about here, except for Safe. But I think that I just want to lay the foundation that Agile is very internally process focused, and we've added things around it that do not derive from Agile, and we need to pay more attention to some of the things. I think we're going to get into that.
Cool. So we got some framework ideas here.
Yeah. We could probably build this list out a little bit more, just some common thoughts here from what is viewed as an Agile framework or an Agile methodology or process or anything. We hear Scrum and Kanban a lot, right? XP, less. Crystal, I put Safe on here for some reason. But we'll just kind of start with that. Agile was an umbrella term, meaning it's all encompassing to a lot of frameworks that are underneath it, but they have some stuff in common, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at Scrum and XP and Kanban and Safe and Less and Crystal, you know, manifesto driven, promoting iterative development, incremental delivery. There's a customer centricity that is tried to be achieved. I think even within Safe, that's true. Pull based. So work is pulled, not pushed. You know, I think these all have aspects of these in common. I think that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, one thing we could debate here is incremental delivery. I think you could debate whether Agile directly says that or is iterative, but I don't know that we want to get too much into. I feel like some viewers of this could say that this is in there or not. But I think we could just leave it there.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, of course, is that the Agile manifesto was preceded by some of these. Right, but they have also evolved since then. So while there was a Scrum that preceded the Agile manifesto, Scrum has evolved since that point. Kanban itself has gone through many developments in that time, and of course things like Less and Safe emerged only after the Agile manifesto.
Yeah, same with the notion of DevOps, right? So the notion of DevOps, the three ways of DevOps, I think are really important to this. There's always a huge debate whether DevOps is to be placed under Agile or not, but DevOps in and of itself, the three ways of DevOps really do talk about incremental delivery to the customer, right? So that kind of gets us to what are people struggling with? Three of us have been around the block. We've seen hundreds, if combined, probably thousands of companies that are using Agile methods and Agile frameworks like Scrum. Ryan, you and I wrote a book on Scrum anti-patterns, right? Things that we saw. People, what are the struggles?
I like that culture is leading this one. You know, the culture of the organization and politics plays into that as well. You know, people, you know, often don't want to change. You know, it's leadership. Hey, I got my Audi. I got my lake house. Why am I upending things? And the people in the middle are like, man, I'm just trying to put my kid through school, right? I don't want to disrupt this. Things are working, you know, on time, under budget, and all the requirements has gotten me 20 years in, you know, and the developers are just tired of the change and the change and the change and the process change and the practice change. And they just want to code. And they want to do good work and they want to see good impact. And so sometimes it's hard from a cultural perspective, the politics, you know, if we try this new thing and we get stabbed in the back, the grifters are rampant.
I think grifters and miscomprehension may go hand in hand here. What do you think, Will?
Well, it's easy to sell to an organization that already is a bit change averse and saying, well, yeah, I mean, Scrum talks a lot about product, but you can use it for project management as well. And and sure, you know, it says somewhere that product owners or product managers should essentially be mini CEOs of their products. But, you know, we could also just have them manage backlogs for people. And sure, we can start measuring individual performance in teams. There's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, there's that miscomprehension of what Agile actually does. There's been some unfortunate publications, right, talking about being able to deliver faster, right? More stuff, more fast.
The work in half the time.
Right. Which triggers a lot of that miscomprehension of, okay, so Agile means we can do a headcount reduction and still get more stuff out the door. And right, there are people that make a really good buck affirming those beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I kind of, we're starting to get in this territory. How do we know when Agile working? One thing I'm going to say is that these are not indicators here.
These are not good metrics.
Yeah. And these are just some that we see as very common, right? These are not indicators. These are things that we see: adherence to philosophy, how many teams are using Scrum, how many teams are using Kanban, how many features did we output? Are we increasing velocity? We don't even want to get Ryan started on this story points of trash rant. But these are four common things that we see in organizations. We're more agile because of this.
Oh yeah. Right. And don't get me started on how allergic have the two of you become for utterances of the agile mindset?
Yeah.
We haven't actually changed anything, and the organizational structure and the operating model are essentially still the same, but we're approaching it with an agile mindset now.
Yeah, the mindset brings out the no.
Yeah.
If you look at the top right corner, Ryan just posted his no image. So, but you know, now we're kind of surfacing the point here that Agile is internally process focused. Keep listening. We're getting there. We're getting to talk about that a little bit more. I think first, for people to really understand the point that like I started coming across and you all have built on today, I think it's first good to mention the evidence-based management key value areas, right? So evidence-based management is a framework, right? We're all about it. We have a company about it. And we have a whole free video series online that can help you address some of these things. But we want to talk about the key value areas in evidence-based management, which is the evidence side of it. So I'm going to kind of pull over here and let you all describe some of this because I'm talking a lot.
Well, key value areas in evidence-based management, there's four of them. I'm not even saying I'm right. Current value, time to market, ability to innovate, and unrealized value, right? So time to market, you know, typically these ideas are around, can an organization deliver? Ability to innovate, can they get new ideas to the market? Are they able to actually bring new things to the forefront? Unrealized value, it's a market share thing. It's an idea of are there opportunities in the marketplace that we're not taking advantage of? Current value, it's the value we deliver today. And so I think if you think of these areas, these KVAs in those simple terms, that can be helpful. If you look at the line that Todd's provided here, the top half, current value and unrealized value, these are market ideas. These are external to an organization. This is market value. Below the line, you have time to market and ability to innovate. These are organizational capabilities, right? Our ability to deliver, our ability to innovate. Thinking about our capabilities there, that's all internal. That's internal focus, right? So above the line, external focus. Below the line, internal focus. And I think that'll be helpful as we map this out.
Yeah. Anything additional to add there, Will, before we hop into the principle?
No. I think this kind of naturally takes us into what caused us to record this episode. And that is, well, what happens if we actually map the principles in the Agile Manifesto onto these key value areas, right? Where is the real attention for agility?
Yeah. And so, Ryan, you always call this the B-side of the Agile Manifesto, right? The principles that are associated with these. And what I think we're going to do is we're going to take these and we're going to map them into which KVA that we think that they belong and see what we end up with here. And so if we start with our highest priority, zoom in a little bit, our highest priority is to satisfy the customer through early and continuous delivery of valuable software. Where do you think that goes, Will?
So there's that kind of, I would say, because it does mention value, mm-hmm. right? It goes into, I would say, either current value or unrealized value.
Yeah, I think depending on what lens you view it through, if you're right.
Yeah, where the focus is. Of course, we can say that's our priority. The challenge, of course, is we only know if it's valuable until after it's delivered.
Yeah.
A fair one to kind of put somewhere in the middle there around some kind of market value.
Yeah. Yeah, because you could be trying to deliver something that you don't have, that a customer doesn't currently have, or maybe you're trying to get to a new customer that you don't currently have. As Ryan, you were relating unrealized value to market share. Or you could be trying to deliver something that an existing customer really wants, right? So CV, UV, you can make the debate on the other side. Welcome changing requirements. I'll zero down on this. Welcome changing requirements, even late in development. Agile processes harness change for the customer's competitive advantage. Welcome changing requirements. What do you think of that?
So that one I would really place with unrealized value. Mm-hmm. Right. A changing requirement really shows some sort of new insight.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
You know what? You could make the debate that this could go somewhere else. You could make the debate that it is a time to market or even a CV thing, just because this doesn't say changing requirements that are delivered upon.
It could almost be an ability to innovate if the organization is unable to make up their mind.
Yeah, limit the team's effectiveness. I could probably really make the most debate here for time to market, but I don't want to drag it on.
We still have 10 to go.
Yeah, yeah. How about deliver working software frequently from a couple of weeks to a couple of months with a preference to a shorter time scale?
Time to market.
That's time to market, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
It says this is people and developers.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, it says nothing about value. This is just delivering stuff.
Delivering stuff frequently. Business people and developers must work together daily throughout the project. Ability to innovate.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to become more effective as a team by working with business people and developers together.
So I want to take a moment here, and this is something that was pointed out to me only a few years ago, that the principles in the Agile Manifesto is actually three sets of four directed towards different audiences. The first four being directed towards the business of the organization. The next four that we're going to go into right now are directed towards the management. And the last four really being explicitly directed towards the developers. Now, these four we've just talked about are the explicitly business-targeted ones. Mm-hmm. And even there, we see that arguably only half of them, and we can have that debate on welcoming changing requirements, but even then, only half of them end up in the market.
Yeah.
Cool. It's a good thing to highlight. So let's get into these next ones.
Yeah, build projects around motivated individuals and give them the environment and the support they need and trust them to get the job done.
I'd go ability to innovate.
Absolutely. Effectiveness, right? People yep. are more effective when they're motivated and given autonomy.
Yep,
I like it.
That in no way relates to, you could have the most motivated individuals and not be gaining any new customers and your current customers are upset.
True.
How about the most effective and efficient method of conveying information is to, and within a development team, is face-to-face conversation.
It's been easy to innovate again.
Yeah. Feels like an A to I.
Yeah. were more effective for face-to-face communication. We get a lot of debate on that since the world has gone digital, but right now we're face-to-face, right? So
yeah. Yes.
Working software is the primary measure of progress.
Time to market.
Just because it's working doesn't mean it's in a customer's hands.
Yep.
Agile processes promote sustainable development. The sponsors, developers, and users should be able to maintain a constant pace indefinitely.
I could see A to I or T to M, depending on how you frame it. Maybe ability to innovate is where I would lean a little harder on this one.
Yeah, let's not burn people out. Let's not give the customer too much. We're not effective that way. I use the word effective a lot with A2I.
Well, we see a decline in quality, right, if we violate sustainability. So,
yeah. Continuous attention to technical excellence and good design enhances agility.
A2I.
Yeah, it's quality again.
A trend is emerging.
Simplicity, the art of maximizing the amount of work not done is essential.
Feels like A to I.
I'm going to make the argument for T to M here.
Yeah.
Right. So if we're not building waste into our system, are we more effective?
And more efficient.
That's right? Fine. I think either one has a good argument. This is not a hill for me to die on.
Yeah.
I'd go time to market. I can see it with Will.
Yeah, I think, Ryan, that's pointing out something really important is depending on what lens that you're viewing these KVAs through, there is some gray area. So there could be some good debate on where these things go. I think that we're just...
But I think the big idea, Todd, that you had this morning is that regardless of the debate between time to market or ability to innovate, there is no argument for value.
Yeah.
It's not up there.
It does not go up here. And same as this one, the best architectures, requirements, and self-designs emerge from self-organizing teams, ability to innovate, right?
Yep.
Any chaps debate that?
No, I think it's good.
How about at regular intervals, the team reflects on how to become more effective, then tunes and adjusts its behavior accordingly.
I'd go ability to innovate.
Yeah. It has the word effective in there, right?
Yeah.
Let's pull back and look at this picture. What do you see with this pattern that has emerged?
Arguably, there could be only one above the line. I think we gave one that was kind of borderline, but if we're charitable, the majority of the manifesto is aligned from an evidence-based management perspective. It's aligned with organizational capability and not value. It's internally focused, as you said, Todd.
And this is not to say that agilists, scrum trainers, anybody that's embodying this stuff has forgot about the customer, but this is to say that the Agile Manifesto, as we know it, the 12 principles are organizationally capability focused. And we have filled in this gap with other things that are not related to Agile. And sometimes companies aren't filling this gap. They're viewing success through these principles here and adherence to a framework, methodology, philosophy, homegrown thing. Is that fair?
I think it goes back to the thinking of we were on time, under budget, within scope. Those are all below the line ideas, right? And that mentality is carried through. And what's interesting is the principles and values of the Agile Manifesto, which we believe are right and good, didn't break that and shift the discussion towards value.
Yeah. All of these could be true in your company, go out of business.
Yeah. And a negative take on this that kind of crept into my head as I was looking at this for a moment, right? Imagine this kind of organization, hyper agile, right? Meets all of these criteria, very interested in what the customer wants. But focused on delivering very quickly and changing opinion very quickly. And what they deliver is good, but what they deliver can also change from time to time. What you're describing almost is ADHD as an operating model.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thought that just crept into my head, maybe Sutherland was the most honest of them all and said it's really about getting the most work. And it's really not about the value.
Yeah. All yeah. things aside, though, the immediate thought that I have looking at this again is just agile by itself is not enough.
I yeah. absolutely agree with that.
And the focus is, as it lies here, is completely lopsided towards organizational capability.
Well, and I think this is why Ken, lightning struck twice with evidence-based management. And this is why, you know, Todd, Will, and I are so passionate about this topic, is that Agile is not enough. Scrum is not enough, because you don't know. You don't have the value equation, the value side. Evidence-based management gives you an ability to actually look at goals from a value perspective. It gives you a chance to look at goals from an organizational perspective, but then it gives you the measurements and the evidence and the ideas to know whether or not you're actually making progress towards those value-driven ideas, which is lacking from the agile side of the equation. And so I think it's agile is essential, but it's insufficient.
Yeah, and I think that some of the frameworks and methodologies try to fill this vacuum, right? In Scrum, there's a product owner, and then there's a sprint goal and a product goal. The product owner, how you do that, it's really viewed as an agile product manager, and it just says, go off and do these things, right?
Yeah.
And we talk about it in our classes and consulting and everything we do, how to do this. Our solution to this is that you use evidence-based management. These things are absolutely necessary to measure and keep an eye on. Ability to innovate and time to market. These are really important. These are things that lead us to being able to deliver current value or unrealized value to new or potential customers or existing customers, for that matter, right? So we're not insinuating that you should ignore these things, but to Will, your point, agile is not enough. And that is where our passion has lied with evidence-based management. There's a lot of other schools of thought out there that try to bring this in, like design thinking, right? Those kinds of things you'll see in a lot of agile implementations. Well, we just won't see any of this, which is the biggest, scariest thing that we run across a lot, is that this is going quite well, but no one's paying attention to this. We output a lot of features, but we aren't seeing the implication of those features on our customer. That happens a lot, right? We never took the time to do validation, right? And that's scary, because we're really not changing the way that we need to change. And so maybe that's as a good segue, if unless either of you have a final thought on this picture, to just talk about the goals of evidence-based management and how that leads to empiricism.
Yeah, I just, the last thing I would add in here is that lately the conversation has shifted to these ideas of product ops. And these other gap fillers that, again, good ideas, but they're filling this gap that perhaps evidence-based management can take care of as well. But I think the community is sensing,
yeah,
the gap, and these new solutions and ideas are emerging. EBM, product ops, all sorts of ideas popping up that are trying to fill it.
Yeah.
So Todd, I think you've done a nice job of actually kind of mapping out something that a lot of people have been sensing, but not able to articulate for a long time.
This is what happens when I can't sleep.
So let's wrap this one up.
Yeah. So one thing we want to make clear is that the key value areas are just a component of evidence-based management. There's goals, evidence, and empiricism. This is really important to us, because you could have the right measures in KVA for your circumstance, but not be going anywhere with them, right? And so the three different levels of goals and evidence-based management: strategic, intermediate, and immediate tactical. These get smaller as you go to the right. Strategic goals, these are something really big. Think 2 to 3 years. This could be the overall strategy of your company, or if you're just a single product, this could be the strategic goal of your product over the next 2 to 3 years. Intermediate goals, I like to put timeframes on them, so don't smack me, Will. Intermediate goals are like an intermediate objective, as the name implies, right? These are going to be indicators that we are heading in the right direction towards our strategic goals, maybe invalidating or validating the strategic goals. Immediate tactical goals are near-term objectives, right? So if I were to put a timeframe on 2 to 3 years, 3 to 6 months, you know, 1 month or less for immediate tactical. Any blanks to fill in there, Will?
Well, I'm just noticing that our icons were a little off, so I just switched them around for a moment.
A little bit of OCD kicking in.
But yeah, there is absolutely that interrelatedness between those things, right? Strategic goals inform intermediate goals, who inform immediate tactical goals. But it's not just about trying to achieve them. It's also that constant validation of, hey, we've achieved our immediate tactical goal. Is the intermediate goal still the right one? And what does that tell us about the validity of our strategic goal? So there's that really nice tension of being directed, but at the same time constantly being curious and questioning about, is it still the right direction? What does the evidence actually tell us as we progress or potentially even fail to progress?
Yeah, and I think this picture it paints exactly what you're talking about, right, Will? So these circles down here are immediate tactical goals. You have a lot of intermediate goals that you're trying to accomplish ultimately. So this picture implies that we have multiple strategic goals that we're aiming towards, and we're trying to invalidate or validate them. This is not a linear path to your strategic goal, no matter how well laid out your plans. This is empiricism in action. We're trying to inspect our goals as we go. We're trying to adapt our plans, which may mean invalidating them in some instances. And then we're trying to create transparency, which through evidence-based management, we believe dashboards and making transparent the information that we have available in our current context at any time. So the idea here is we're trying to disprove or validate the goals, Will, as you were implying. So again, back to the three components of evidence-based management: evidence, which we've talked about extensively through the KVAs today; goals, which is the three levels of goals; and empiricism. Those are the three components of evidence-based management. We just didn't want to shortchange goals because they always get shortchanged.
Yeah, and arguably are the most important part of EBM. And that kind of goes back to what we just saw. So again, imagine this hyper-agile organization. Right, it's capable of delivering quickly. It has motivated people. It delivers great quality. Works continuously with the customer. Right, gets that feedback, adjusts accordingly. But without a goal, right, without some sort of strategy of, here is the kind of customer that we want. Here's the kind of customer that we don't want. Here's the kind of market that we're aiming for. Here's the kind of trade-offs that we're willing to make, and translating that into goals. You can be super agile and completely chaotic, and ultimately be great at delivering, but have no impact whatsoever.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead, Ryan.
I was just going to say the larger implication here that Todd is, I think, uncovered with this is that you can do Scrum, you can do Kanban, you can do Save, you can do Crystal, you can do DSDM, all of the frameworks perfectly and not see any value, right? Or never know whether or not you actually delivered anything of value. And so this idea of insufficiency, I think, is really important. How do you know your Scrum practice is working? Right now, Agile would tell us, well, if you're below the line here, and your organizational capabilities have improved, you're winning. But you can go broke improving your organizational capabilities if you never deliver value, if you don't gain new customers, if you don't do the things above the line. And I think that's really important for people to think about. It's a good thought there, Todd. It's a good catch.
Thanks. And, you know, I think just the last point, and I think we can all agree on it, is that how you define goals and where they live should be somewhere here.
Yep.
I think strategic goals should mostly be related to unrealized value. Intermediate and immediate tactical goals, depending on your context, should live somewhere in the market, whether that be sometimes you're targeting specifically things for current customers to achieve current value, to emphasize it. Sometimes it's UV. But all of the way that you define your goals should live here.
Very nice.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for checking out this video. Leave your questions, comments, objections, and agreements below. We'd love to see what you think about this new idea. Be sure to check out the evidencebasedcompany.com. We're teaching evidence-based leadership courses with some new ideas coming along the way. Hit that bell so you never miss an episode. Like and subscribe. It helps out the channel. For Todd and Will and myself, we hope you enjoyed this. Let us know in the comments, and we'll see you next time. Hey, it's Ryan. If you're enjoying this show and want to take a deeper dive into Scrum with me and Todd, check out agileforhumans.com/training. Be sure to also look at the show notes to subscribe to our newsletter, get a copy of our book, Fixing Your Scrum, and learn more about working with us at Agile for Humans. Thanks for listening, and Scrum on!